Ditch the clocks and deadlines. Time is ours to define. In this world that's all mine, we let our spirits shine. Binging with benefits, sisters watching flicks. It's the perfect fit. Binging with benefits.
Hi, Mimi.
Welcome to Binging with Benefits.
Welcome.
I'm Jess.
I'm Becca.
And it's awkward to do this right now because we have our podcast voices on, but we also have a guest in the room.
Yes, we have a very special guest.
A super special guest. We are sisters. But then guess what? Surprise, we have a third sister.
Yes, I am the third sister.
And this is third sister, Allie. Yes.
Hello.
She's actually second sister, but she's third sister to the podcast.
Yes. Let's make it more confusing. Yes.
Absolutely. We're introducing all the players.
So yeah, Allie lives in Texas, and so she's visiting.
I flew in specifically just for this podcast.
Oh my God. Guys, our podcast is a really big deal. We had a guest fly in.
Flew in from Texas, but last Tuesday.
Yes.
And we've just been doing whatever we want, whenever we want.
Literally.
Yes. So.
It's been great. And you know what we said? It would be really funny to get her on the pod and do a little guest episode.
You don't have to feel as nervous as I do.
I think these guest episodes, I think we should call ha-has with hoes.
That's so funny.
Yes. It started out with how Pop, when he's explaining, guys, hold on.
Let me back up.
I gotta back up a lot. So there's a show called High Potential that we watch, but my dad can never remember it. And so he'll always say like, crumbling priorities or something like
seriously?
That. And it's like, so that's what he calls it. But I have a friend who couldn't remember what our podcast was called. And so he just landed on ha-has with hoes. It's like, so basically our guest episodes are ha-has with hoes.
All right.
Well, regardless if you're a hoe or not.
Yeah. We listen and we don't judge.
She's our first hoe.
Hey, I was about to say it.
Somebody call the police. We'll get her back on Beach Boulevard where she belongs after.
Do not put me there. No, thank you. Anybody here in California knows what Beach Boulevard is.
It's not even Ladies of the Night anymore. It's ladies of all the day.
All the times.
But you know what? Get that bad girl. However you got to do it. As long as you're okay, just be safe. This is my opinion only.
No, thanks.
Anyways, we won't be dropping her off on Beach Boulevard. That's okay.
Only if I'm going to Knott's Berry Farm and you're paying for it.
For the Boysenberry Festival. Yes. That's the only reason we want to go.
Yes.
Well, you know what? If somebody's paying, I'm going to Disney. So
that's not on Beach Boulevard, though.
Well, you can go down Beach Boulevard.
You can go to Adventure City.
Adventure City.
I don't even know if that exists anymore.
It does. It's still up.
The other day.
Jeez. See, this is what happens when you move away. Literally, what's today's date? The 13th?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
At the end of this month, April 29 is 4 years since I've moved away from California.
Whoa.
High school career.
Yeah.
You're in your senior year of living in Corpus Christi.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. So that's where I'm from. I'm from here, but I moved to Corpus Christi and people ask why. Why did you move there?
I ask that all the time.
It was not without complaint from me, for sure. At first I was like, I don't really want to go there. Like, I visited there and there's really nothing. But yeah, I guess I found my niche. We're still trying to find little parts of the niche, but yeah, I guess for the most part. But I do love it. It's honestly a lot slower there than it is here, which I'm kind of grateful for because
we need the era of slow.
Yeah. Okay. You know how life gets a little crazy? But my husband's family's from there. So that's why I moved there. And now
we need to get you a Taco Nazo, a Trader Joe's, a Costco.
I'm putting the Costco there. So we'll see when that happens. It'll probably be after the point that I like move away. So good. Either way, the next place I move is I'm going to make sure that the airport is close enough.
Yeah, please. No, not an airport, an international airport.
Yeah, international airport.
Something that doesn't cost you an arm and a leg to fly in.
We do have an international airport, but it's all, you like, connect.
Technically.
Yes, I will make sure that I'm by an airport that is like affordable to fly in and out of, like during the weekends if I wanted to.
Yeah.
And make sure that there's a Costco and more than two Targets in the area.
There we go.
Because we just got our second Target.
Congratulations.
I
know.
I'm like, man, I feel like we made it. Now that we're like on the map, there's two
Corpus
Targets.
Christi's on the map.
Yes, they are on the map. They're literally at the very end of the map.
But you know what? It's so pretty.
It is very pretty.
Well, well, we're so excited to have her here.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
I'm excited too. Definitely excited.
Great. I have a quick little thing that I want to do with us just to get a little vibe going.
Okay. Well, hopefully you know the vibe considering you grew up with us.
Well, I know the vibe, but just let's
I made the vibe. I was first born.
Literally, I wrote the vibe handbook. Okay. So I want to do a quick game of Would You Rather. Let's start with, would you rather relive your most cringy teenage moment or have it narrated dramatically by one of the sisters on the podcast?
Oh gosh, I already know what I'm gonna answer. I'd rather have it narrated. I think I would say, like, it was probably any time between my freshman year in high school to like junior year.
Okay.
But junior year was, I feel like that was the best year for me in high school.
Yeah.
I loved that year. And then senior year, I was like, okay, cool. The normal for everybody going through high school. But yeah, I'd say any time between, yeah, freshman to junior year.
I agree. I think having it narrated by the sisters is so much more enjoyable.
Because
if one of us were to narrate a cringy story, which we know many of each other's, it would likely bring laughs versus
tears.
I want to cry myself to sleep.
Yeah.
By reliving it.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
That's kind of
I would much rather have it narrated, hands down.
Okay.
100%.
I can give an example of...
All right. She's diving deep.
Jessica's face right now, as you can see. So like,
what are we give it to
what
me,
am I gonna Peggy? Okay, well, this is just one of the many years of embarrassing.
For you or one of us?
Me.
Oh.
Because like,
I mean, let's bet what you're going to say first.
Jeez.
No, no.
Good. As my friends and I say, give me your walls. Give me your walls.
Give me your feeble and your broken.
Isn't that from Dick Van Dyke?
Yes, it did come from that. But I was like, that's just the saying that we say now. We're like, give me your walls.
I love it.
Ooh, I'm going to steal that. Yeah. Give me your walls.
It's either that or give it to the ocean or whatever body of water that you're in. We're like, give it to the ocean. Give
Ooh,
it to
see,
the
I say tell it to the trees.
Yeah, let's Ooh. Go. Just give me your
Anyways,
walls.
Anyways, that's a side thing. Tell us your cringy moment.
Okay. So this had to have been maybe either freshman or sophomore year. PE in like May.
All you had to say was PE.
I know, PE, period.
Okay, so maybe like end of April, early May, like the last little bit of school, you have to swim. Like that's part of PE.
She already knows where I'm going.
Yes, I do.
All right, so let me paint the picture.
Laughed about this several times.
Okay, so I am wearing a swimsuit that, let's just like, for reference, it's essentially strapless, but it has a tie that comes from the center of the chest around the neck.
Wait, is this a hand-me-down swimsuit?
No.
Had one exactly like this, and I think I had the exact same moment.
Yeah, don't buy it. Just right now, don't ever buy a bathing suit the way I'm describing.
Like, just don't buy bathing suits, okay?
Just don't buy them. Go nude. It's the first day, and everyone's like, oh, I'm so nervous, whatever. We get in the water. And you have to swim across the pool and back just to prove that you can
that
swim.
That you can swim, but they don't need to save you.
Yeah. So I start and I'm just, you know, swimming across. And then all of a sudden, my whole chest comes out of my bathing suit because the whole thing just fell.
Like, wait, did the strap untie or did they just like,
no, the whole thing
just scooped under your boob?
Yeah, like it just pulled, the water pulled it down.
Yep. This is the exact same moment that happened to me with this kind of swimsuit.
Yeah. Like, why does this... Did anyone ever, like, a man invented that? Let's just say that.
Oh, 100%. You're like, well, accident for boobies?
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm going to tell you right now, that is not the kind of swimsuit that you should be swimming in. But, like, as an adult, now you realize, like, what kind of swimsuit can I actually swim in? Uh-huh. And what others is it just I'm laying by the pool?
Right.
You know,
this is lounging on a boat.
Yes. So, anyway, so I'm like, oh, my gosh. Okay, so I fix it. And then I'm like, okay, I'm just going to, like, do a little doggy paddle, whatever. Nope. It comes down again. gosh. Mind you, the entire class, there's only a few of us in the water. The entire class is all on the side.
Out watching. Yeah.
You're watching us. Anyway, so I get to the end of the pool and I'm just like literally wading water, holding my swimsuit up, and I'm done. And my teacher, who was a man, comes over and he's like, Are you having trouble with your bathing suit? And
I was like, no, I definitely am not at all.
No issue.
Are you having trouble with
your
bathing
suit? Well, I only got across once and you're supposed to go back. But he was just like, it's okay. I know you can swim. It's fine. And I'm like, thank
goodness for that teacher.
Oh my God. Like, literally, I was like, oh my gosh. If literally one person was looking at me at all, they would see everything.
Oh, I'm sure that people were looking and they're like, wow, sucks to be her.
Yeah.
Or cool show.
I literally had the same thing happen to me two separate occasions with the same swimsuit.
Oh my God.
The first time was with friends and I was jumping into I dove into a thing and swam and someone was like, I think we were watching each other under the water when we were going.
Oh, that's even better.
They had goggles on watching and I was coming up and came out and they're like, we saw your teeth. I was like in fifth grade at this point. And then the second time was at a young women's thing. We were on a boat with and I was coming up out of the water after jumping into the water and went down and he saw
and he
ran away so quickly. And I was so devastated.
That's so
and then also hard. Talking about like it's a woman's job to be modest. I kept for years. I held that so.
Yeah.
I was so ashamed. Like, oh my gosh, I was immodest in front of him. And if he's had any impure thoughts since that day, I'm responsible for that.
Oh no! Here's my advice for you: give it to the ocean.
I did. I gave literally my whole chest.
Literally, just let it go.
You know what? I know this now.
Woof.
Yeah.
Woof.
I feel like our generation of people within the church, I don't know if we'll keep this in or not, but like within the church, I feel like they have that mentality of like, they grew up with that mentality.
Yeah, because we were told that. I don't think they're told that anymore.
No.
But like our generation harbors that.
Yeah.
Definitely.
There's a lot of us out there. A lot of us out there who feel that way. Yep. Even myself. But that's definitely something that I've brought to my adulthood and just realizing like, you know what? I can change this. I can change this kind of mentality. That's not what church is about. Church is about God.
And my shoulders apparently.
But also,
not to bring it all churchy, but that's what it's about.
If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out.
Literally. Pluck your own eyes out or something.
Yes.
Be my guest.
Here's a fork. Here's a knife.
Yeah, here you go.
Here's a knife.
Use a spork.
Yes. No. Use a toothpick.
Toothpick. Pluck it out with a toothpick, my guy. I love it.
Okay, anyway.
I don't even think we need to go into other questions. I think we've got the vibe. As a little treatsy here, Allie's actually going to tell us a story, a thing that she watched.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so they called me like maybe like 2 weeks prior to me coming. They're like, hey, we have this idea. Do you want to do this? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And I just happened to watch this movie within that time span.
She's like, I know exactly what I'm going to talk about.
Exactly what I'm going to talk about. And it's wild. Absolutely wild. This movie is called The Last Breath.
The Last Breath.
And I was like, oh my gosh, what am I setting myself up for?
Let's go with gut instinct here. To me, it's saying we're talking murder mist. We're talking like I think we're talking like a murdered pod.
Okay. Well, if Jessica gave it an idea of what she thinks it is, what do you think it is?
Well, I know a little bit about the like.
Oh, about what this is about?
What it's about.
I don't know anything about the story.
Okay.
I just know it has to do with space.
Space? Wow.
Well, let me give you just a little teaser. We know more about space than we do about the ocean.
This is true.
You both are wrong. This is about the ocean.
What?
Oh, dang.
Mind blown.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, I was way off.
This is telling you how basic white B I am. I'm like, murder podcast.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay. So, we're going in the ocean. I love it.
We're going deep dive.
You're going deep dive.
I'm literally in the ocean. BT dubs.
Yeah. Yes.
Jessica's like, yeah. She can't even watch videos of free diving or Titanic.
Yeah. I am a lover of all bodies of water. I love the water. My sisters know this about me. Yes, like, whenever there's a body of water, I will go and float for like hours on end I could.
Yeah,
I love it.
Ocean,
but however, you will not catch me going snorkeling. Well, I'll do snorkeling, but you will not catch me doing scuba diving or free diving. None of that. None of that, especially in the ocean. I actually have a fear of being like hit by a massive tidal wave and dying from that.
Oh,
that is my worst fear.
Oh, that's funny. You know, that's
funny. Even though I love the water and I love the ocean, terrified of like getting hit by
a tsunami stuff.
Yes.
I'm terrified. You live in Corpus Christi. Yes. So like,
I know. And I'm like, it's hurricane out right there all the time. That's my secret fear. It's not a secret anymore because it's out in the open and everybody knows now, but I am legitimately terrified that that's the way I'm going to go.
Wow. Oh man.
And I don't want that.
So this is.
I'd much rather get killed.
This is you facing your fear.
Literally, yeah, it literally is
fully immersing herself in her fear here.
But anyway,
let's get into the last
breath. So just some quick facts. This release, it came out just February of this year. So it's literally just brand new.
How did I not hear about this?
Like February 28th. I actually saw. I don't watch TV. Like legit, like live TV. I watch Netflix,
streaming services,
Disney Plus, that kind of stuff. I somehow had seen like a commercial somewhere, and so I vaguely remember seeing this being like broadcasted, like, "Hey, this is a thing. This is a movie." Mm-hmm. Anyway, so this just came out in February of this year. So the main characters in this film is Woody Harrelson. We love him.
Love Woody.
How did I not hear about this movie?
Yeah, that's a big name.
We love Woody Harrelson.
I thought you were going to give me some like indie actors.
No.
I know.
I mean, there are most of them are indie actors.
Right. They probably spent their whole budget on Woody.
Woody Harrelson is probably, if everybody knows who that is, just think of Haymitch Abernathy from Hunger Games. Mm-hmm. That's Woody Harrelson for you. Or Zombieland or whatever.
Or Cheers.
Yes.
He's
exactly.
Woody and Cheers.
Woody and Cheers. Yes. He's in this film. I'm going to totally butcher this name, and I'm so sorry if this ever blows out for this person to hear this, but it's like Simi Liu. Simi Liu is in it, and Finn Cole. I mean, most of this takes place in like the UK.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
So a lot of these actors, but they got Woody Harrelson.
Is Woody doing an accent in this movie?
No. The funny thing is the character that he plays like in real life, because guess what, guys? This is a real life story. This legitimately happened in 2012.
Oh,
so not even that far off.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
So this is a real life story.
Oh gosh.
I'm already scared.
Yes, I know. Anyway.
Oh my gosh.
So fun fact. Yeah. The character that Woody plays, all of those guys are legitimately like from the UK. So they are playing characters of people who are like saturation divers.
And saturation divers?
Yeah, they're professional deep divers who they go into pressurized chambers for up to 28 days to work on underwater.
Wait.
They're submerged for 28 days.
No. So they go in a pressurized chamber.
Once a day for 28 days?
No. They live in this pressurized chamber for like up to 28 days so that they can go into the deep depths of the ocean.
Oh my gosh.
Like oil rigs or pipes or whatever.
What?
Yes. So
I did not need to know.
Yes. And this specific story takes place in the North Sea. And if you guys know anything about the North Sea,
it's a treacherous sea.
Yes.
I know this from TikTok.
Wait, where's the North Sea?
Have you heard of the Drake Pass?
Yes. Okay, that one I've
Drake
seen videos.
Is a little bit more north of where this specific incident
I don't know
happened.
That. All I know is that TikTok says North Sea is
the
treacherous.
North Sea, yeah, it's treacherous because of its shallow depths.
Shallow?
Very shallow. It's up to only like 300 feet.
What?
It's not very deep at all. is almost that's none of my 11,000.
That's none of my business.
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah, I'm all.
There's a few things that are none of my business. How deep the ocean can get, yes. None of my friggin' yes. And what lives in that ocean, yes. Is none of my business.
I know. It's crazy. Wow. But this is me. Like, if you're gonna know anything about me, I'm going to look at all the facts.
I love it. No, I just was like, I'm doing that.
Her fear, and I'm like, yes. Being forced to.
She's yes. She's sweating already.
Literally just had my hair up. I'm getting so yeah. Hot.
See, I've already gone through this phase. I've already gone through this phase. Even
I
though I'm like
right the other side, like, yes. Here, take my hand. I'm yes. Like, no, I don't want to go.
I'm like, this is cool.
So yes, okay. We know the North.
You haven't even started the story.
I know. But the North Sea has like a mad reputation, obviously, for shallow depth, strong currents. There's short waves, but there's frequent storms there.
Okay.
Not that great. So this film, it takes place off the coast of Scotland.
This makes sense.
So a bit okay. Cold water. I can't do a Scottish accent. Wow, that was terrible.
Yeah. And the main character, it's actually not Woody Harrelson's character. He's not the main character, but he's one of them. Finn Cole, who plays the role of Chris Lemons. So Chris Lemons is the person who legitimately went through this.
Interesting.
Had this happen personally to him.
Oh.
I'm going to say the names. Duncan, Alec, Dave, Yusa, and Chris Lemons were the ones specifically doing this mission, if you will. Mm-hmm. But there was an actual team of, from what I remember from the film, and I don't know how accurate this is, but I know that this happens in real life, where there was basically three men, specifically Duncan, Dave, and Chris, were teamed together. And they went out to sea on the ship, because they needed to work on a specific oil rig. In this case, it was like the pipes that were running down there. Most of the times when pipes are on the floor of the sea.
Oh, I hate this.
I know. So just think about that for a minute. Like all the things
gosh.
We take for granted, our heating. Yeah, like all of that. It's all connected to the ocean.
So, you know what? Let's just take a second. I'm so appreciative of people who want to do that, because they're like, oh, I want to be an engineer, but I also want to be a scuba diver.
So I also want to put my life in danger every single day.
Literally. So these guys put their lives in danger.
Wow. Not a ton of money.
To be able to make sure that we have all that we need here on shore.
I mean, God bless you, but it's none of my business.
No.
All I know is that I have electricity and the things I need, and I don't want to know.
You will not catch me doing any of this ever in my life, but thank you to all of you wonderful people.
God bless.
Literally, thank you so much.
Literally. So they were in a team, and there was like three other groups of three that went on this specific voyage. Okay, so the character, Chris Lemons, think about this. This is real life story. He's engaged to this girl, and she's of course worried about him going out there and doing this job all the time. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And why would you date somebody who does this?
I don't know.
I guess love is love.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is. But anyway, so this is how the movie starts. Is she's having a conversation with him, thinking, you know, like, hey, this is really scary. Just want you to be safe. And he's like, everything will be fine, whatever. You have to go through this extensive training and classes and even your own like diving missions to be able to get to this point. So at this specific point in his career, this is one of his first major dives that he's doing. But he is paired with Duncan, Alec, and Dave Yusa, who are very seasoned in this.
Okay.
And they've done multiple missions going down to the bottom of the ocean to prepare pipes.
Every time you say that, Jessica squirts.
Whatever is down there that needs to be done. And okay. So, but Duncan Alec, Woody Harrelson's character, has done some like practice dives and whatever with Finn Cole's character, Chris Lemons. He like vouches for him, and that's why he gets on the team. Anyway, in order to prepare for their deep sea dive, like I said, they have to go in this pressurized chamber. This is on the ship. You were living in it for...
Oh, so it's not like a little coffin thing. It's a room.
No, it's a big enough room.
Wow. Biodome situation? Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Interesting.
It's like an oversized pill.
Like,
wait, is this a bubble boy situation?
No.
It's a big pill.
The way that I can like envision it and try to explain it to you.
Yeah.
It's a pill shape.
Oh, that makes sense.
But it's huge. Anyway, so they go on this mission into the deep sea, and it takes them quite a while, obviously, to get to location where they need to go. But meanwhile, they're living in this pressurized chambers to get used to being able to go into the depths of the ocean. And that's, they have to do that. So they're prepping, doing all that, whatever. And then they get to the place. They have to move to a separate room to get to what's known as the bell. And the bell is what lowers them into the water.
So they don't ever leave this like hyperbaric.
Well, they do, but the chamber has a spot that opens up that goes into the bell, which is still a continuation of this pressure.
So they never leave the pressure.
They never leave the pressure. And so they get to this point, they get into the bell, they're prepping, putting all of their stuff on, and they have this cable that they're connected to, obviously. Mm-hmm. This cable is what gives them, it supplies them with heat, light, breathable gas, so that they can do their work under the water, obviously, right? So anyway, they get all dressed up. Yeah, Finn, Cole, and Simi Lu. So it's Chris's and Dave's character who go into the water.
Okay.
Woody Harrelson's character, Duncan, is the one that stays in the bell, and you have to have somebody who stays behind so that they can control the length of the cables.
Oh, yeah. Make sure things are working properly.
Yes, making sure that everything runs smoothly. They lower the bell and the ship or whatever, because there's obviously a control tower up there, that's everything too. So they're having communication with these guys in the ship to do the job. So they lower them to like 91 meters, which is 295 feet.
Oh my God. Hard pass.
So they lower them and they have to locate this like structure under the water. And in the structure, they have to repair like some pipes and stuff that aren't working properly. Mm-hmm. So they literally like lower them just above, maybe about 20 feet above like the floor. And they literally have to like just take a leap of faith and fall down to the ocean floor so they can walk on the floor to get to this structure. Meanwhile, they have to do this because, of course, as natural as the North Sea is, there's a bunch of wind and like the storm, which is very typical.
It's just always choppy water. So they have to get out and walk to where the destination is because they can't accurately land there.
And most times they do this job for like 6 to 8 hours at a time.
Oh.
Yes. So they do this 6 to 8 hours depending upon the job. And then they'll go back up in the bell and go back to the compression chamber. And then they'll go back out
the next day
to do it. And so that's what they were doing, just a normal routine thing.
Okay.
And then as they're like investigating, trying to figure out what the problem is, once they reach this rig underwater, the ship communicates to them, or at least the captain and the technicians in the ship communicate to these guys. Hey, the ship is malfunctioning. And it's not working. So the ship shuts down and is starting to drift.
Stop it. Okay, hold on a second. So let me clarify here. I'm going to ask one of my many questions.
Okay.
So there's a ship up top.
Yes.
Safe and sound on the surface of the ocean, as one should stay at all times.
Yes. Because it has
it's connected to the bell.
Yes.
And then the bell is down
in the water.
Obscene amount of water, meters. Okay. And then that being connected to the ship, the kids who are stupid are connected to the bell.
Yes.
So it is just a big chain link.
Yes.
Okay. So the ship is starting to drift.
Yeah. The ship is starting to drift because the mechanics and everything completely shuts off.
And it's choppy waters.
And it's very choppy. Very, very choppy.
So it's going to drift.
They're like,
whoa,
we need to get out. So they communicate to the guy, I'm like, hey, we need to abort the mission until we can get this figured out. And so they're like, okay, cool. Like, well, let's climb on top of the rig so we can get closer to the bell. Anyway, they have this whole plan in motion. All the while doing this and trying to execute this, Chris Lemons, his character, Finn Cole, his cable, remember this cable that has the ability that allows him to have the ability to have heat, have oxygen, it gets caught.
Where?
On this rig that they're working on.
It gets caught.
And so, as you can imagine, as the ship is drifting, everything else is drifting along with it.
Oh my God.
Except him.
No.
And he is being pulled in two different directions because of the waves and everything. Oh. And so, yes. The entire time I was watching this, you can imagine, I was just like, no.
My butt is clenched so tight right now.
I can't even imagine. This can't be right. This can't be real.
This isn't real.
This isn't real at all.
Oh my gosh.
And so his partner that was down there with him said, hey, I'm going to need you to just do whatever you can because of the weight that he's being pulled in one direction and the weight that he's being pulled in a different direction. He said, your cord's going to snap.
Yeah.
You know this is going to snap and you're going to get disconnected. You're not going to be able to hear or see anything, but I need you to get back onto this rigging so that we can come back and save you.
Oh.
Are they going to leave?
So the cord snaps.
Oh. The
thing that gives him oxygen and heating. Because mind you, he needs obviously the oxygen to be under the water.
Yeah.
He needs the heat because this
it's water freezing.
Is barely above freezing temperatures.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Barely.
So above. They're like, hey, you're going to snap, yeah, but hey, do this and we'll come back for you. Yeah. We promise.
Yes.
Yes. Nope.
So
I do not put my trust in any man that much.
So as you can predict, the cord snaps. And he gets flung back and they get flung the other way and they get separated.
Oh my gosh.
How far off from the rig is he landing?
I'm trying to remember. So I don't know specifically how many feet he was away from the rigging itself. I know he was disoriented in this film for at least 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah, because you literally don't know which way is up or down at this point. It's all so dark.
And okay.
Gosh. So, hells no.
Yeah.
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 Hell no.
So also knowing that he no longer has the heat and he no longer has the oxygen supplied to him, they of course have a backup oxygen supply on them just in case, but it's only 10 minutes.
Oh, I don't like it.
What?
Yes. So he only had a backup oxygen tank. For 10 minutes. So they had 10 minutes to get back to him.
And this is a whole movie for 10 minutes.
No. Just wait.
Oh my God.
Just wait. It gets worse.
Oh boy.
Yeah, right? I know. How does this get worse? Trust me, people. It gets worse. But anyway, so he, of course, gets knocked off the rig, opposite direction, doesn't even know where he's at. But he knows that he has to get back to the rigging so that they
somehow figure out how to get to the rig.
And luckily, he had the backup oxygen to help him get to where he needed to go, but he had flares with him, so he had
some light source,
but he still didn't know where he was going. So he was literally walking around in this film. All of us were sitting on the edge of our seats, by the way. There was four of us watching this film. It was all girls,
literally
all girls watching this film. No men.
They're all smart enough all to be like, oh, no thanks.
So we're all like, what the heck? Oh my God. No, the entire time.
What is it about women that we have to like audibly be like, don't do that? It's a terrible. And then they're just like,
literally. literally how it was. We're just like, oh my gosh, commenting on every little thing. Like, what's going to happen next? We're like, we don't know because nobody's watched this before. Anyway, so he eventually finds his way to this rigging. And he's like, okay, I got to climb up on top of this. I don't know how he did it. Obviously, it was by the grace of God or some unseen being that got him to the top of this thing. Because he's dealing with the currents. He's dealing with, like, the darkness. So he manages to get up on top of this rigging. And by the time he gets up there, he's got, like, 2 minutes left.
Heck! No!
He's got, like, so 2 minutes left.
My gosh.
2 minutes left. And he's like, I just gotta wait.
And you literally can't do anything now. Now he just has to sit there.
Yeah, he's literally just there waiting for them to come back. So I guess kind of fast forward. Let's go to the ship, right?
Yeah.
It was like over, like, 625 feet away from this diving excursion that they did.
So
that's a lot of time that they lost. And the ship is still not working. Still, they, like, have to do it manually. to get it just to stay in place and kind of go in the direction that they need to, but they're obviously not going to get there
in 2 minutes.
In 2 minutes.
Oh my gosh.
I get this guy. And they're just like, regardless, we have to go back whether he's dead or alive.
Yeah.
You're going to go back and get this guy.
We yeah.
Recover a body, whether it's dead or alive.
Mm.
Yeah. Crazy, right?
Jeez.
And then somehow, mind you, during this whole process, there's this other guy. He's like controlling this robot that also has like a light attachment onto it and cameras. During this whole film, there is like real life camera.
No, absolutely not. Yes. I'm not watching this movie. I'm sorry. I can't.
Yes. There's real life camera like shots from this.
Wow.
Incident.
So stressed out.
Yeah, I know. I'm stressed out talking about it.
Whoa.
Anyway, so there's this robot that is still down there. It of course got pulled with the ship and everything, but it has like, I don't know, unlimited. It seemed like it was unlimited rope to be able to just to go back.
Yeah.
And like, okay, well, it's like, oh, you have that robot down there. Like, let's see if we can locate him at least see if he's actually made it back to the rigging while we're still trying to get back. They were finally able to come across this rigging that they were working on, and they realized he was there. But by this time,
he's dead.
His oxygen runs out, and you start going into a coma. You just fall asleep, basically. And that's what he did. Fell asleep, and your body, when you are between the brink of like life and death, your brain only has about, sometimes it's like 5 to 6 minutes that it can survive without oxygen.
Yeah.
And so your body will do involuntary like motions and stuff.
Yeah, it's just like the synapses firing. Yeah,
just to get your body like
like whoa,
get air. But of course he couldn't do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they located him on this rigging. And they're like, okay, cool. He made it, but he's unconscious.
Yeah.
And there's an arm on this robot that they can like attach to anything.
Yeah.
And like, pull it. Oh, let's see if we can like
rescue him this way
mm-hmm. and get him back to the ship as fast as we can or get him to the surface or whatever so that we can give him air or anything. And so they use this robot's arm to attach to one of his...
Something on his suit.
Yeah, it was some kind of like loop or attachment on his suit specifically. Of course, it takes like 5 tries for them.
Oh my gosh.
So builds up the emotion.
The tension is building.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Music is swelling.
Yes.
Almost got it. Almost. Nope.
Literally. 5 times to get it to finally attach. And they're like, oh, yes, okay, finally. We got it all attached. Let's pull him up. Let's pull him up to the bell so we can get him into that pressurized chamber still. They try to pull him up, and then eventually there's tension.
Why?
They can't get him up.
Why?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm so angry.
Why?
Why can't we get him off of this thing? And they realize that Chris had used... like a carabiner
to keep himself on the thing so he wouldn't float,
which is very smart for anybody in that situation to do.
Oh my god,
they're like, yeah, he's smart, but we can't we can't get him off this rigging.
Why? I can't. Okay, hear me out. I'm gonna ask a question that you don't have the answer to.
Okay.
I'm really good at this. Why can't they be like, robot, drop Mr. Chris Man. Boop, drop him, he's attached to carabiner. Okay, go down. Latch carabiner. Grab carabiner. Back him up by carabiner.
I don't know. It didn't happen in the movie.
Would have been so easy.
I know.
Put me on the case.
I know.
Put me in, coach.
Literally. You guys didn't think this is the kind of movie that I was going to be.
I came in thinking it was a true crime podcast. Oh no,
okay. I thought it was about space. I will tell you, these girls are like on the edge of her seat listening to me.
I'm like so silent. Right now. Yes. We got so into this so fast.
Oh yeah, oh I'm needy.
Like there was literally no warning. It was just, hi, I have a concern about you doing this.
dead. Like,
literally. Anyway, so they realize they can't get him off this rigging because of that. They're like, well, no, I don't know.
And I don't know.
And then some other guy that works with like the electrical system or something of some
smart guy.
Some degree, very, very smart. He's like, I can override the system. I can figure out how to override this ship system so I can make it work. So
that I'm going to hack into the
mainframe. Literally what he says. And they're like, getting pushback from the captain. He's like, I don't know, because we don't know if you can put it back into its normal state after that. And it took him like 10 minutes to convince. So again, this adds more time to the clock that this guy
on the
bottom of the ocean is without oxygen. So anyway, they're like, okay, fine. Like, he convinces the captain of the ship to allow him to do that. So he runs down to the electrical room with all the big boxes and all the fancy lights. And he's like pulling cords out. And like,
That's a red one.
He's cutting cords. He's splicing them together and he's putting them in like all these different sockets and places to get it to override. And he's like, okay, I got it. And then he, of course, to do this, he has to flip the switch off. Mm-hmm. And so once he gets them all in place, he flips the switch. Nothing happens. Mm-hmm. And he's like, no. You're like, the normal thing.
That yeah.
Like, no. This is supposed to work. Like, I know this is going to work. And he keeps like flipping the switch. And then he's like, what the heck? And then eventually, like, he flips the switch and everything works. And he's able to override the ship. And they're able to travel back. To get back to the area so that they can lower the bell down. So the guy that was down there with him, the guy that gets stuck, of course, remember, he gets swept with the bell and everything. Uh-huh. Eventually gets up into the bell and he tells, like,
he's with the Woody Harrelson guy.
Woody Harrelson's character, and tells him like what happened and blah blah blah. And so they're just like waiting in the bell basically to get word on what they're supposed to do. And so finally they get, because even their communication with the people in the ship is kind of very lagged and they can't really communicate. Mm-hmm. So finally they are able to get online with them, and because the ship is fixed and they're going back, and so they're like, okay, we have this plan. You need to go down and get him and bring it back up to the bell so that we can
bring him back into the ship
and to the compressorized, you know, chamber and blah blah blah. And we can just abort this mission and get him the medical help that he needs. Get him out. And so they finally get the ship back to the location where they went to do this deep dive excursion. And they go and get him. And at this point.
So they do get him.
They do get him.
But.
Chris Lemons has been without oxygen for almost 40 minutes.
No.
40 minutes.
So it's like a recovery mission.
Yeah.
Oh, so my gosh.
They get him. But not without problems. So they had to attach his body to the other teammate who went down with him originally. And the only way for him to get up, the way that they portray this is true in the movie, is he was using his cable
to pull himself up
and Chris up into the bell. And so it took a lot for him to do this. Mind you, every like few pulls that he would get up closer to the bell, the current would pull him back.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, like
it would slip through his hands. It would
slip through his hands and he'd slip right back down. So they finally, Woody Harrelson, his character, said to him, go with the swell. Like, climb with the swell. So, and hold on. Don't do anything else. Just go with the swell so that we can get you up.
I had to like make the motion with my hands to understand.
That's what he did. Eventually he got to like the platform under the bell, and then they were able to lift Chris up into the bell. Chris is still, obviously, they're like, he's got to be dead. Like,
it's been how long? Yeah.
40 minutes. And that's far too long.
Yeah.
For anybody to be without oxygen. It's like, he's dead. There's no way. But they still, like, take all of his equipment off and everything. And they're, like, doing CPR on him in the film. We thought, no way that this is true. They did CPR on him, gave him 2 breaths. And then Chris's character starts to breathe.
No, are you serious? After 40 minutes?
After 40 minutes, starts to breathe again after 2 compressions and 2 breaths.
2 compressions? Wait, 2 sets of compressions? Like 2 sets
and 2 breaths.
Wow.
But
they're like, oh my gosh, he's breathing. Like, oh my gosh, they can't believe that he's actually breathing and he's like functioning and everything. And, but they're like, hey, like Chris, they're starting to talk to him and everything. And there's like no response, no response at all. And there's like, oh my gosh, like he's like brain dead. There's no way. We just have a breathing body.
Oh my God.
And he's brain dead.
Oh my gosh.
And then they're just sitting there just like, what are we supposed to do? Like, of course we're going to bring him back because regardless, we got to bring a body back. We're going to do that. And after about, I'm trying to remember what it said, but in the film, after about like 10 minutes of them just trying to like get some kind of response from him out of the blue, trying to remember exactly what he said. It's crazy. He finally like wakes up, literally wakes up. He asks out of the blue without them even knowing that there was going to be any kind of response. He's like, is Dave okay? Like, full on able to have a full on conversation with them.
Wait. So he wakes up after 40 minutes of no oxygen.
Yeah. This is after like 40 minutes of oxygen, he gets into the bell.
That's the first thing he says. That's
the first thing he says.
Wow.
He
says, Dave okay? King.
And he's like, yeah, Dave's right here. Like, everything's good. And they explained everything to him. And he was having like a full blown conversation with them and everything.
Wow.
And the crazy thing, yeah, despite him being stranded like that for like almost 40 minutes, he survived. He literally survived.
Full functioning life.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Doctors have no idea how that even happened. They can't even, he doesn't suffer, like he's still alive today. He doesn't suffer any physical or mental side effects.
Wow. The heck. Is there something to be said for living in hyperbaric chambers as a way of...
That's what they think. They think it's because he was under the pressure and everything and the temperature of the water.
Wow. Somehow
science is crazy.
Yeah. Wow. Isn't that wild? So yes, of course, like they returned back to the chamber that they were in to before they started the mission. They went back to shore and depressurized. It takes about like 4 days for them to depressurize and everything. Enough.
It takes 28 days to acclimate and then only 4 to come back.
So in the film, they're able to make phone calls in this chamber to like anybody that they
like want. On land or something. Yeah. Okay.
And so he, of course, like makes the phone call to his fiance. In the film, this is not what happens in real life, but in the film, he makes this call and says like, hey, like the mission got cut short. There was an accident.
Doesn't tell her.
Doesn't tell her.
Maybe until to he a freaking man. Shore.
But in real life, he actually told her.
Oh, okay.
You thought this was all wild? 3 weeks later.
No, don't tell
three
me.
3 weeks later, he returns to finish the job.
What the crap?
It was successful. And he continued to do this. He doesn't do it anymore, but he continued to do it for several years after that.
I don't.
But yeah.
What?
He doesn't do this specific job. He does more things like onshore now. Rightfully so.
But he went to go finish this job 3 weeks later.
The job with the same people.
I mean, there is something to be said for this man's bravery.
Absolutely.
But yo, that's stupid.
Ah, dang. Yeah. If that were me, if I was going to be marrying that fool, I'd be like, it's your job or it's me.
Yeah, no. Literally.
It's your job or it's me.
My gosh.
Yeah. Crazy. That's legitimately the film.
Wow.
And I was like,
I can breathe again.
Right?
Wow.
The last breath. I hope everybody was on the edge of their seats listening to this because I certainly was.
The way I had to stop and take a picture of Becca's face and my face because I was like, I have never.
Yeah. Okay. So would you guys watch this film?
I hope so.
Becca says yes.
No, I totally would, actually.
I'll be telling my therapist about this.
It's been like almost a month since I've watched this, and I still think about it.
I know, Allie didn't. Typically, when we do this, Becca and I will watch the thing and then watch it again to refresh our memory.
Yeah.
Once. And this is how much she has remembered of this.
Yes.
Wow.
This is something you don't forget. I didn't even experience this, and I can't forget it.
Wow.
It feels like I experienced it because of how I feel.
Chris,
if you guys want to sit on the edge of your seat and know what it feels like to be 300 feet under the water,
gosh.
I'd say still go for it.
watch it.
Definitely. I'm not going to, but y'all can do that.
Jessica's like, I'm gonna throw up.
I'm
a little sweaty over here, just a little bit.
I know. I'm like, I've been biting my nails this whole time, swaying back and forth in my. Yes. I'm in a swivel chair today, so I'm like,
oh. I wish y'all could see their faces. Like, honestly, when they post this, you guys should post the pictures of your faces.
Oh, for sure.
My gosh. Yes.
That's it. That's the last breath.
The last breath will be the death of me.
Oh my gosh.
You can keep your last breath. I will keep all of my many breaths.
Yeah. Same. Same.
Wow. Holy most, you know, thanks to those people who do those
things.
Oh my gosh.
Watching a film like this, knowing full hand that it is a real life story. Or even just any kind of fictional stuff that you watch in general, it always makes me think, like, there's people out in the world doing this stuff.
I know.
It's crazy.
Oh, my word.
Appreciation is, like, 1,000% for these people.
Well, there's appreciation is 1,000% for you for telling us this story.
Oh, my gosh.
You're welcome. It's fun to have both of us sitting here, like,
what is happening? I know. Oh, my gosh. That is wild. Yes.
I know.
Oh,
yeah, that we can all breathe now.
I'm gonna do some deep stretches.
Literally.
Oh my gosh. But
you think your cortisol is higher than mine? I don't think so.
I love it. Well, thanks for telling us the story.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Oh my gosh. That was good.
Let's hit everybody with a benefit here.
Okay. I'm ready.
I have a benefit. Because and this one is perfect because right now I am in need of it.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
You're welcome. I'm glad I provided the opportunity.
I think Becca has done a product recommendation here. She did one before as a benefit. I'm about to do a product recommendation as a benefit.
Okay.
That blanket right there.
Oh, yes.
The way, okay. I have been looking for bougie bedroom additions.
Yes.
And I wanted a very soft, fluffy blanket. This is not a sponsor, but Minky Couture blanket.
Yes.
Okay. So this blanket, I've been eyeing it for a while and it was on sale and I bought it just thinking like, whatever. I could not be more prepared for the amount of comfort this blanket gives me. I get so excited when I take my daily nap.
Oh my God.
I would too. Blanket. It is so soft and it's a little heavy too. Ooh. I got, which one is this one? This is the Cloud blanket in wine.
We love weighted blankets.
We love a little blanket. But like, it is, I cannot stop like myself from smiling when I put that blanket around me every day.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
And
that's,
it's so ridiculous.
I love that.
We all need those things to make us smile. No, seriously.
Like, this, my butthole has been clenched for the last 50 minutes.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Oh my gosh.
No, but anyways, it's a great blanket. I can say there's a good thing about the company because every blanket that you buy allows them to donate blankets to preemie babies in hospitals.
That is
and I
true.
Think they don't know if it's the same like type of blanket, but they donate tons of blankets to preemie babies in hospitals.
Yes.
It's a great blanket. It's so very soft. Like if you think you know what soft feels like, you don't until you put this blanket.
Yeah.
And like, I'm a bit of a like,
I am touching it right now and it is very soft.
It is so stinking soft.
And like, I'm a little bit of like a, what's that word? Like a sensory girl.
Okay.
There is nothing better than that feeling. Like that blanket being like wrapped under my chin up to my ears.
I need a visual. That's how I feel.
We're going to make this happen.
I'm grabbing the blanket. Oh my gosh. It just makes me so happy.
Yes.
I'm literally going to take a video right now.
All for a happiness queen.
And like, this.
Oh my God.
This girl to my right is the epitome of a happiness queen.
This is making me so happy after this. Like, oh my gosh. Just like having it around when I'm taking a nap and just like this up on my. Oh, yes.
I think she needs a nap.
Well, but I will say it is like, honestly, when you touch it, it honestly feels like, where does my skin end and where does the blanket begin?
It's kind of weird. Yeah.
And I'm not just saying it. Like it feels that soft.
And you just like can't touch anything. If you're a person who needs to like cricket feet to fall asleep, like, you know what that is? Like where you have to kind of rub your feet together. This blanket. So good for that.
Oh, I love it. You know what?
That wouldn't be me, but I can totally see that working.
100%. Yeah. Put it between my feet and rub my feet with the blanket.
Heck yeah. Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
Anyways, that's today's Benny.
Get yourself a good blanket that makes you happy and helps you feel better.
Yeah, cricket your feet. Cricket your feet.
I will say this blanket company, I have seen billboards literally everywhere in Utah.
Oh yeah.
It's a Utah-based company. Like literally every billboard, every other billboard is a Minky
Couture.
Yeah. Anyway, and so I just thought it was so funny because when you bought it, I was like, oh my gosh, I totally know that.
I can't escape it.
I literally, when I lived in Utah for like, what, 4 or 5 years? I don't remember.
She doesn't remember. She blocked it out.
It was great until it wasn't. Let's just say that.
As is most things in life.
Yep. That's how it goes. But anyway, yeah, they like driving to work every day. They would just have these billboards with like random blonde people on there. They know their market.
Look,
they do.
And I will say there are like men that they try to use in these marketing things, mm-hmm. and they have some like manly prints, I guess. I don't know. All I know is that it is my bougie blanket, yeah. and I love it.
Yes,
I love that for you.
I love it for me too.
Big recommend. Kate, can I just say this really quickly?
Yeah.
I was about to say like, oh, 5 stars. I'm like, no, 5 stars. That's dumb. 1 out of 5. You got to have 1 out of 10. I think
one
the whole 5 stars rule is dumb. I don't think that's enough for people to understand like how much of a product is.
Oh,
really
10 stars instead of 5
yes.
stars.
I see what you're saying. Oh, yeah. This is a 10 star.
Yeah.
This is not no stinking 1 out of 5 stars.
Yeah,
no.
This ain't your Amazon review.
Yeah.
No.
I don't believe in 5 stars.
Which by the way, if you haven't already, you need to look up Sugarless Gummy Bears, the reviews on Amazon.
Oh my gosh. Hilarious. I have seen and people pooping their brains out and then typing about it. It's reality TV on
it
Amazon.
It is so funny in a
yes.
review.
Yes. It's so great.
Like anyway, yes. it's amazing. Go look it up.
Go do that. That's also a benefit. Bring yourself some comfort with a nice blankie and then read yourself into a fit of laughter on
yes.
Amazon. The Sugarless Haribo.
Yeah.
I think it was Haribo, right?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
I think it's Haribo.
Well, guys, I think we did it.
That was so
fun. So.
Oh my gosh, that was such a
good one. Everyone take a nap now.
Everyone take a nap. Make sure that you go and subscribe. Yes. You share with your friends.
Because this story told by Allie, first of all, needs to be shared. But the story itself needs to be shared because this is insane.
Yeah, that's the thing is I never heard about this story until I watched this film.
I never even heard about this
way this happened. Yes. I think it was still a good film. I would totally watch it again.
Oh,
maybe
sure.
like a year later, but I would definitely watch it again. I would still recommend you to watch it.
Yeah. So that the lack of marketing.
Yeah. That's interesting. But even Woody Harrelson, I'm kind of shocked.
Honestly, like that's a pretty big name. Oh, I know who you're talking. Dave. Okay, Dave is the guy from Kim's Convenience and the Asian
I know.
Marvel.
Yes,
guy.
He's part of the whole new Marvel universe.
Yes, Simu Limu or whatever, right?
Yeah. I don't know if Ben Cole. I'm looking at pictures.
I wondered if that was him.
But anyway, never heard of it until basically watching it. And I would watch it again, like I said, maybe a year later. If I was really feeling up to it, maybe before then. But
oh my gosh,
I
that's
still
so crazy.
Recommend, even though I know this podcast is directly for you people to just listen and not have to watch, but I say still watch.
Oh, most of the time we tell you to watch the thing if it's worth watching.
Yeah, if it's worth watching. But if we're like, if it's not worth watching, we're like, no, you just heard about it. You don't need to watch it. This one you need to watch, apparently.
Yes.
I mean, 2 out of 3 will tell you to watch it.
Yeah.
Very special circumstances of no thank you.
Yeah.
Fair.
I love it. Well, go rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. Share it with your friends. Share this episode with your friends and family and loved ones and enemies and dogs and
just all the people and
politicians
things.
And
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, thanks.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me.
I know, that was so fun.
Okay. Wait until the next time whenever I can.
Yes.
Love it.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Ditch the clocks and deadlines, time is ours to define. In this world that's all mine, we let our spirit shine. Binging with benefits, sisters watching flicks, it's the perfect fit.